Well, we find ourselves back at this famous well, an encounter with Jesus that has captured the minds of people out there and in here for centuries. Some of you may have walked down to the city centre and you go through that subway, don't you? And you come out of the subway and on your left, you've got that Victorian image of Christ speaking to the woman at the well. It's harvest time, and we thank God, don't we, for the seed, farmers, fruits, vegetables. I like fish, so fish too, and meat, but perhaps most of all, like I said to the children, we should thank God for water. But I'm not working for water aid this morning. My message this morning is very simple one, and it comes from John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him. He would have given you living water." If you knew the gift of God. I'm going to do something a bit different. First point will be an illustration, a longer illustration. I remember someone doing this in Aberystwyth, and it was quite interesting. So first of all, an illustration. Imagine warm weather. Oh, do you remember that? Oh, the sun. Imagine lavender fields and cicadas. Imagine olive oil and Provence, the land where it's sunny quite a lot. And you've got a man coming over the hill called Jean de Florette. He's a hunchback man, and he's got a beautiful wife and a little girl, and they've just come into an inheritance, a beautiful farm in the middle of Provence, France. And in that farm, what makes it a really valuable farm is the presence of a spring or a fountain, yeah, bubbling up from the ground. And, of course, water in Provence is precious. Can you hear the water bubbling in your mind? Deep from the earth. And as the family get closer to their new life, things seem ideal. The good life is near, the house, the family, the beautiful land there. And it all going so well until some of the local men, a man called Le Pape and Ugolin, were hoping to acquire the farm and make their fortune growing carnations. But their plans were thwarted when this man from the city came and inherited this beautiful piece of land. Filled with envy, they devise a plan, and it's a wicked plan. They find the source of the stream, and they block it up with mud, with stones. They put rocks over it. The water's still there, but they block it up. And what's worse is they pretend to be friends with Jean. And they pretend to look for the stream. Time marches on. The family try everything because they need the land to work in order to feed the little one and to live. They look for the well. They look under here. They look there. And eventually they resort to carting water from miles away. But it doesn't work because they lose most of it en route. And the poor hunchback, Jean de Florette, eventually his efforts come to nothing and he dies tragically. And when the mother and the daughter have to sell the farm cheaply, you know what's coming? Those two buy it and they unearth the stream and they make a fortune. But their daughter was watching through the undergrowth, Manon. What happens next? Well, you've got to read the novel or watch the film, Marcel Pagnol. It's a tragic, powerful story about the necessity of water. And you may be thinking, people of Cardiff, why have I taken you to the warmth of Provence on this chilly, wet autumn morning? The reason is your story, by nature, is a similar one to that tragedy. So we've had the illustration, now I'll give you the interpretation, okay? The Bible begins in a garden, and things are good, better than that inheritance that Jean had. And our first parents were upright morally. God walked with them, provided for them, and there was harmony, there was life, there was light. To use the picture, nothing was blocking that stream. It worked well. Nothing was in the way. But the Bible teaches that something tragic happened to humanity, to our first parents. The Bible teaches that when they disobeyed, they rebelled. It was as if now a great boulder had been rolled over this spring of life. Mud now started accumulating, and dirt was blocking this spring. You know what I'm talking about. Even this week, how many of us have fallen in some way or another? And the sad thing is that people out there, maybe some of you in here, have forgotten the existence of the spring and the taste of water. You doubt its existence, eternal life. That's the stuff of novels and fairy tales, is it? Is it? Humanity's story now is one of fish shaking. History repeats itself every time another baby is born. They end up with mud and boulders blocking their relationship with Almighty God. That illustration is similar to your story, because we have tried, haven't we? We can have a beautiful house, as it were, to grow gardens, build wonders. But in that story, water is vital. Vital. Without, you can live without seed and the other things that come around at harvest time. But without water, none of it would grow. Maybe you've tried other wells this morning and other cisterns. You've maybe tried Buddhism or I don't know, meditation, mindfulness, Islam. And yet, you know, be honest, you may try these waters, but they don't satisfy, do they? Your family don't satisfy. Money doesn't satisfy. Like I said, I'm not talking here about literal water. I'm not working for water aid. We've got a nice new reservoir up in Llanishin. This is a picture which the Bible mentions repeatedly. Water, water, water. Why? Because we will not live without water. And it's an image that John loves. And don't worry, I'm coming to the Bible. John brings us now. Thirdly, we've had the illustration, the interpretation, now the invitation, all right? Allow John now to take you to another well, another spring. John remembers this spring well. It implanted itself on his mind, just like Nicodemus' encounter in chapter 3 had implanted itself in his mind, an encounter that was memorable. It's the sixth hour. Look at the Bible. It's noon, the heat of the day. It's hotter than Provence, and John makes that point. And they call this area Samaria. It's a complicated area with a hostile history. It was out of the way, wasn't it? Look at it there. He's weary from his journey, and he needed to go there, though, didn't he? Because God is interested in the out-of-the-way place. God is interested in the out-of-the-way people. And it's a messy story. Verse 4 tells us he needed to go through there because it was messy, really, wasn't it? This woman and God's solution now. Can you imagine it in your mind? Walks towards the well. And his name is Jesus. Look at verse 3. We're told that Jesus sits at the well. He's a man. He's tired. And we're reminded in verse 6 that he's thirsty. And in verse 7, he meets the woman. Now, of course, you know, you remember when Wynne preached on this, that this was radical. She's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. He's a man. She's a woman. But more than that, and this is the sort of underlying theme in this chapter, she's dirty. She's dirty. And he drinks from the same cup. He's to say it reverently, well, he shares the same straw. Scandalous. Just like it was scandalous when he would embrace the lepers, touch the woman, because they're dirty, you see. How can we understand this division? Israel and Hamas, maybe. Russia, Ukraine, I think it's deeper. There's nothing new under the sun. But the remarkable thing is that God comes to where she was. And I don't know you all here this morning. And maybe you needed to hear about John 4 this morning because Wynne has already done this encounter. But we're meant to go back to that well, aren't we? And remind ourselves that if we are not ready for the dark, are you heart thirsty this morning? Let's look back at the text. She's messy. She didn't have hope. And she certainly did not expect this man, because her love life has been full of men. You probably needed a chart to understand all the relationships she's had. Maybe that's you here this morning. And Jesus puts his finger on it, doesn't he? Look at verses 16 to 18. Go, call your husband and come here. And there's the awkward bit. I've had five. During their conversation, she realizes that man knows her. That man knows about all the mud, knows about the rocks. Like a doctor, he doesn't just start, you've had your symptoms. Christians, we like symptoms, don't we? Ooh, don't do that. Don't do this. No. Lord Jesus Christ, like a good heart doctor, he gets to the heart, doesn't he? Look what the symptoms are just the five husbands. He knows the deep, deep, deep issue here. It's as old as time itself. Well, not quite, but you know what I mean by that saying. It's as old as that garden issue. A heart thirst. Whilst water is now drawn in a bucket, or something of that ilk, a skin probably, like a goat skin that's tied on the side and used to bring the water up, you imagine our Lord Jesus taking some of the water in his hand. And he knows what she needs. He doesn't just batter her about the symptoms. He offers her medicine. If you knew the gift of God, she thinks he's talking about well water, about the well. But he looks, I can imagine our Lord looking down at the water, drawing it with his hands and drinking it. And he says those amazing words, doesn't he? Everyone who drinks this water, he's using visual aid. Oh, there we are. Look, our Lord Jesus used things to help his preaching. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life. And if you don't understand that, right, if you've not quite got it yet from the children's story and from this sermon, then Jesus himself, okay, explains it in chapter 7 of his gospel when he stands up on that festival day and the text tells us he cries out. And do you know what he cries out? Let anyone, Jew, Samaritan, Gentile, Welsh, English, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, there we go, faith. A scripture has said from the very beginning, I'm adding that, but that's what Jesus means, a scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. They'll be alive. You'll be alive. And the invitation is for failures this morning. This is a gospel sermon. What does gospel mean? Not a choir, right, with people from, America singing. No. The gospel is good news. Good news that the invitation is for failures this morning. You might say, what do you know about failure? Preacher, white, male. Do we have classes in Wales? Well, if you want, middle class. I don't think there is, but there we are. What do you know about failure? Ah, yes, but you don't understand, do you? You're looking again at the outward. We're all failures here. Yes, even you, Heath attender. The mud and the blockage is there, isn't it not? And the invitation this morning, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew it's a gift. So we've had the illustration and the interpretation, and we've had the invitation. Come. It was what I read at the beginning of the Bible. Beginning of the service from Isaiah 55. This is an old invitation. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And then later in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. It's the same gospel in Isaiah. Call upon him while he is near. But fourthly, we have the implication. My friends, there's only one way to live. Do you remember that story we read, sadly, on the news of Michael Mosley? Healthy man. A guru. Some of you may have read his books about what not to eat. The vitamins to take in the morning. And yet we see that man of men, if you like, that celebrity doctor, wandering out into the desert. We don't know exactly what happened, but knowing that walking and sun equals danger, and having experienced real thirst myself, I can guess that he didn't take enough water. Or any water. I don't know. You can tell me later. But my point is, he had it all, but without water, what good? Soul thirst, heart thirst, call it what you like, that gap in your life, that I'm not sure where I'm going when I die gap, can only be satisfied by water. The water of life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Drink him, if you like. You will be saved. You will live. Now, you might ask me, what about all that blockage and all that mud and all that achavi stuff in the hole? Well, It was this same Jesus Christ that John would follow through his ministry, fully God. And you see it there. The woman knows we've been waiting for you all our lives. Maybe you've been waiting for this message all your lives. Now none but Christ can satisfy. Christian, are you excited by it? None other name under heaven, no, none but Christ can satisfy. There's none other name for me. Are you living like that? Have you forgotten? There's love. There's life. There's lasting joy. In going to Heath, well, there's love and life and joy. But lasting joy, Lord Jesus, only found in thee, in you. It was this same Jesus Christ that would deal with that mud and that stony blockage. And imagine a man in that story that I began the sermon with, getting on his knees and taking that mud upon himself and unblocking the stream. You see, you may not have heard of the living water this morning, but you will have heard of the cross. The man by Jacob's well promised cleansing. The man by Jacob's well promised forgiveness. The man by Jacob's well promised life. The man by Jacob's well was led up a hill. The man by Jacob's well had no ounce of mud or rock or blockage between him and God. He was righteous, he was upright, he was morally perfect. And yet the man by Jacob's well took the rebellion, the blockage, the filth, the mess of a sinner, and he was lifted high between heaven and earth, in case you miss it, the mediator between God and man. And because the sinless Savior died, you know this hymn? My sinful, my muddy soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and punish him and pardon me. That's good news this morning. My friends, all of us here by nature are this dying of heart thirst, soul thirst. We're in a situation, to use that first illustration, like that Provençal farm. We're well built. Some of us might even be beautiful. Some of you might be. And we can improve ourselves. We can invest. We can work hard like Jean. Cat in the buckets, planting the seeds, building barns, preparing for our cruise next summer, preparing for our grandchildren, building our gardens. Make sure the pension is built up nicely. And then you die. So what? Yeah, but I've got a PhD. I did this and I did that. And Lord, I was kind to him and blah, blah, blah. But if you haven't drank the water, if you haven't come to Jesus as a sinner and seen the sin of and the mess and the blockage, it's no good, is it? Without water, there's no life this morning. But death couldn't hold him. You might say, oh, we know this story. Well, I'm glad you do, and you need to hear it again. Because when you're on that hospital bed, and it feels dry, and you start remember the mud, and you start remember the boulders that were over your soul when you were young. Perhaps you're a member of this church and you're not right, you know. There hasn't been much fruit, maybe. And you start thinking at your life on your deathbed and say, well, actually, I said the right things, but there was no fruit. Then you remember the woman at the well, the dirty woman, The woman who saw what she was like. The woman who saw him for who he was. Naked, do you know this hymn? I'm sorry I'm quoting hymns, I can't help it. Naked, come to thee for dress. Don't wait till you're clothed. Helpless, come to thee for rest. Foul. I have no time for Christianity, right? That says, get yourself together and then come to Jesus. That's repulsive. You might see that sometimes in conservative churches, but I have none of it, all right? Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. There's life in him alone this morning. Don't wait until you're respectable, because deep down your heart will never be respectable. Whoever drinks of this water will never thirst. What kind of man would I be if I hid this source from you this morning? I urge you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven who can save you from your sin, who can save you from hell, to trust in him. I do not want you wandering into the wilderness like Michael Mosley, spiritually. Or Jean de Florette, when the well, the water is so close. I am the water of life, Jesus said. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. He himself is the gift, you see? We've got there eventually to that text. He himself is the gift. He himself is water. Is it well with your soul? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Well, as we come to communion, shall we sing our hymn 549? Can you say this? I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water. Thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live.
Thank you.
us. Thank you, Jesus, for that life-giving stream. We thank you that I came to Jesus. Many of us, we came to Jesus as we were and drank of that life-giving stream. Bless us now as we commune with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.